Hey, I'm just letting you know that in February 2023, I am speaking at my friend Andy Storch's event in Sonoma, California. It's called the Talent Development Think Tank. I'll be running a session on marketing your workshops. And on day three, I'll be hosting the 2-hour workshop blueprint session. I'd love to see you there. Head on over to leannehughes.com/think tank. Enjoy the episode.
Life's too short, so you're here to work and live large. Here's your host with nothing to lose, Leanne Hughes.
Hello and welcome to the show. I'm your host, Leanne Hughes, and I'm here to help you imagine what's possible is possible for you. And look, when it comes to possibilities, I just love, and maybe it's a very expensive hobby that I have. It's not a hobby, I put it down as a professional development expense, but traveling internationally to learn from people is like my favorite thing to do. It's the best part about being a business operator is getting the choice to do it. It's a luxury of having, you know, the privilege to be able to do it. One of the things that I miss the most about being in corporate was having like a professional development budget, but now it's like I'm my own boss, so I get to decide which trips I go on. The reason I'm sharing that is because I have just returned from a trip to Kauai, Hawaii, right back in Brisbane on Monday. And in my latest 2 by Tuesday newsletter, I shared the top 10 things that I learned when I was over there. But I thought I'd expand on a few of those points. I won't go into tremendous detail, but I want to give you some sort of high-level overview of what was learned for a few reasons. One, I just love this stuff and I find it extremely nourishing and it gives me a new perspective and a framework for thinking about things. So that's useful for you. And honestly, and very selfishly, it's as I reflect on my notes, there is no better way of reinforcing what was most important to me in this moment by sharing it with you as well. And I'm just really keen to open up a conversation on any of these points. So if you resonate with any of these, if you find them interesting, if you want more detail, like let me know, just send me a message on any of the social platforms or email hello@leannehughes.com. Let's dive right in. First, I'll set the stage on why I was even over there. As many of you know, if you've listened to this podcast, one of the early episodes was my first international trip in a few years, and that was to Las Vegas to see Alan Weiss. He's the Million Dollar Consultant. And I met Alan through my original podcast called First Time Facilitator, where he just shared some things that blew my mind. And since then, I've been working with him. And in the last 12 months, I've been working with him as part of a group called The Growth Cycle. It's kind of like a mastermind. There are 7 of us consultants that are part of that group from across the US, Canada, Japan, Australia as well. And we meet every 2 weeks on Zoom for 90 minutes. Alan jumps in, I think every second meeting he's there. But more recently, he's been at every meeting, which has been great. And we ask him a lot of questions about business, about delivery, execution, consulting, creating a great life. And we've been meeting for 10 months, but we've never met in person. I met Lisa, one of the consultants in Vegas, but that was it. So this was our first time to get together. And so that's a big deal, right? To get 7 people committed to a date and then flying into this one tiny island in the Pacific was pretty awesome. So what was the point of flying in? I think we all know what it's like. We've all been connecting with people on Zoom. There is just nothing better though than three-dimensional time together. And of course, it just reinforces the magic of being together. And ideally, like if you're going to jump into a group like this, you have a meeting like we had in Hawaii at the beginning of your group. So then you can just like hit the tarmac running with it. You accelerate the connections, you accelerate your understanding of how people operate and who they are as humans. As much as we try to do that through our conversations on Zoom, it's the incidental stuff that happens that you really get to know what people are like. So just a shout out to those consultants, if they're listening, it was really fun and awesome to hang out with you last week. The other great thing about it is, of course, we pick a great location. So I think in the past, Alan has run these sessions in Milan, in Italy, Paris, London, Hawaii. He's been to a few times, Florida. So as a group, you get to decide where to go. And so Hawaii was basically probably the only place that we'd all have fairly equal travel time to get there. Kauai itself, it was never really on my bucket list to go there, but wow, what a place. Just so beautiful. I've got to say though, we have 2 official days with Alan. The first day was my Lisa had booked this meeting room at one of the venues. I won't call it out here, but we got there and it was just like no natural light. There was this air conditioner that was either hot or the air conditioner would kick in and we couldn't hear anyone. It was like just a really not inspiring, if I could put it that way, not inspiring meeting room. And then Alan suggested we just meet at his place the next day at his condo, which had these beautiful glass doors overlooking, it was just beachfront and stunning. And as a result, the second day I found it more relaxing, more enjoyable than the first. Even though the first was great, the content-wise, I think from my own energy perspective and ability to be inspired, definitely the second day felt much better to me. Before I jump into what we spoke about in those sessions, I think group travel is not difficult. Particularly, I think it's easy when you have someone that's assigned a role. Like if you go on a group tour, there is a host, there is a guide, there is someone there that's leading control, and by nature, by their role, they take charge. Because we're all peers, I think who's taking charge here? Should I take charge? Am I being too controlling or should I just be more laid back? Like all this stuff comes up. And so it's really nice, just actually nice and fun to experience that, because as a solo consultant, I'm just steering my own ship every day. So it's kind of fun to get back into the group dynamics and seeing how things work. And I am obsessed with group dynamics. So I love seeing the stuff, being part of it, figuring out my place, how vocal should I be? Should I step back? What do I do? What is going on? What's happening with this group? So I love that. But I'm also, I'm fiercely autonomous as well. I love just deciding and going for things. So I really had to manage my own. I'm very aware of that. So I had to manage my own level of like, okay, Leanne, like you're part of a group here. So don't be as autonomous as you would usually be on your own trip. So it is important to establish roles. And the good thing about that, we had Jeff in Canada, shout out. He just right at the beginning said, right, I will pay for all the meals and then I'll do the calculations and we'll split the cost at the end. So it's just nice for someone like that just to step up. We could have assigned roles like who was organizing transport, like you just do it all, who was organizing the roof activity and be really specific about that. But anyway, it's fun just to make it also a little bit chaotic as well. In terms of Kauai itself, I think it took about total 16 and a half hours from Brisbane to get there. At the moment, they're not flying direct through Brisbane to Honolulu. So three flights. Probably the hardest part is just waiting between, I think it's only 22 minutes to get from Honolulu to Kauai, but Nicole and I had to wait 3 hours just to get on that flight. By the way, if you are going to Kauai, if you can hire a car, it is very difficult to get around. Uber is not it's tricky. You're waiting 30 minutes to get Ubers. We found an amazing driver though. Her name is Aurora. Shout out to her. If you are going to Kauai and you need a driver, just send me a message and I'll send you her details. She has an 8-seater and wow, such a cool attitude. Awesome human. If you do like sleeping in, Kauai may not be the place for you. There are chickens everywhere and they start going crazy from about 3:30 in the morning, which Paul and I couldn't believe. We were like, what? Like, it's so dark. Why are the chickens going off? I didn't mind it because I like getting up early. Beautiful coastal running scenery, just stunning scenery, full stop. The hotel I stayed at was great. The ISO hotel, fantastic. Reviews weren't that great, but it was awesome. I loved it. Very convenient, right on the ocean, had a Safeway and Starbucks across the road. The food in Kauai is sensational. Think tuna steaks, real steaks, purple sweet potato, like a bright purple. Clams, seafood is beautiful. Prawns, the drinks, pineapple mojitos, pineapple martinis, the local beer. All right, quick background on what the event is actually all about when we catch up, like why Alan is there. Well, we basically want this to be a little bit different to our normal bi-weekly Zoom sessions with Alan. So rather than asking transactional type questions, we want it to be more strategic. Like, what do I want to do with my life? Am I going in the right direction? What do I need to focus on, double down on? What do I need to stop? Like more of those type of questions as opposed to how do I talk to a client about X, Y, Z? So before we had our 2 days with Alan, we actually met up the day before. We went on a hike together. Then we had showers and brainstormed the questions we wanted to talk to Alan about the next day. Paula then put these into fantastic categories, and some of these included our own manifesto, a mindset, motivation, strategy, thought leadership, etc. We had quite a big list. So I want to share some key insights with you, but I think above all of the key insights, What I find most useful when I work with Alan, when I see Alan in action, is just the way that he thinks about things, just doesn't accept things the way they are. And we constantly had discussions around how to disrupt yourself. And the question always revolves around, how do you make things simpler and easier? Like, how do you, that's basically the fundamentals around it. And I think as consultants, as facilitators, as speakers, we all want to do more. We want to give more value. We want to create the best experience. We want to throw on the kitchen sink. And we try to chase for perfection sometimes in the work that we do, when really success is what we're after. And I think it's always about driving the result, but you've really got to think for the client, what is the best way and in their interest to do it? And a lot of the time, sometimes we come in to work with a client, we have formulas, we have our 12 steps and processes, the ways that we like to work, but we constantly need to think, well, what do they actually need? And really, what can we remove? And how do we get them there as quickly and as easily as possible? How do we drive that result? The result has got to be front of mind. And then you think about, okay, well, why do we overcompensate? And usually it's built around fear. So if I'm charging a certain amount, I want it to be worth it. And sometimes we just stack everything in there so to make us feel better when it actually isn't in the client's interest. The line that Alan said that really struck me is that consulting is simple, but we make it more complex because of low self-esteem. So some lessons I wrote down 10 key lessons I learned, and I did a TikTok video, Instagram. I shared it in my 2x Tuesday email newsletter, which you can subscribe over at leannehughes.com/subscribe. But I thought I'd do a bit of a deep dive into some of my favorites. So the first one is be provocative and not promotional. So when it comes to promoting what you offer, people don't like being sold to. So what you want to do instead is provoke thinking. Alan constantly says the best thing that you can hear from someone is, oh, I never thought about it that way. We had a conversation around mission, vision, and values, both in the context of setting that for ourselves in our businesses, but also helping clients establish their mission, vision, and values. And a provocative statement Alan said, which again made me think, oh, I never thought about it that way, is that we always say mission critical, but we never say it's vision critical or it's values critical. And that's really true. So if you are working with a client or even thinking about your own business, the most important thing, if you want to sort of make it simpler and easier for yourself, is actually just to focus on what is your mission. That is the most critical part. And I do want to give a shout out. While I don't love Simon Sinek, his book, Find Your Why, it's actually a very good practical manual to help you and your teams and leaders figure out what is your why, like through just a nice process that seems to work. So for first-time facilitators reflecting on this, my mission was to stamp out boring workshops around the world forever because life is too short to waste time in these. I think you can have specific missions for maybe big projects that you're working on, but to even pull it up even more, I was trying to think about, like, what is this? I don't know if I've landed on it yet, but I definitely think my overall calling is to help people trust in their own judgment and therefore have more confidence and security to move towards where they really want to go. Really, what I want to help people with, maybe you're listening to this, is just about helping you back yourself. I just see so many wonderful, talented, brilliant people out there that are not sharing ideas, not putting their hand up, not getting great opportunities, or sort of waiting. And I really think that's linked to the premise behind this podcast, which is work and live large. Let's talk about clarity. I am constantly searching for clarity, like clarity in what I offer, clarity in terms of what I do, like what is my plan? And again, something provocative Alan said was, if you can live in ambiguity, you can be happy, and to stop this crazy search for clarity. And he said that because we can never have full clarity because of how dramatically the world is shifting. So his advice was to think about mid-course corrections, and that's how you maintain and be more resilient. You need to be flexible, but also have the confidence in your judgments to make those adjustments, to make that move. It's really about being light on your feet. A conversation we had as well was about, and Adam Grant's been talking about this a lot, is the concept of languishing. It's like, blah, I've got this, you know, wake up in the morning and that kind of feeling. And Alan responded to that by saying that we do have to live our lives in a way that is thrilling, captivating, and challenging. And what is captivating is our calling. So that's why it goes back to that mission. Is our mission exciting enough for us to wake up in the morning and get moving on it? And I do think languishing is, of course, it's linked with energy. And Alan spoke about people having batteries, and some people have large batteries, some people have small batteries. And he says you can't change your battery, but you can allocate your energy to get the best out of it. Otherwise, you can get burnt out or you can get bored. And my favorite line, probably from the whole 2 days, was nothing will drain your battery like doing boring things. It's like, I completely agree with that. And it's, you know, you might be in a role where it's just boring you to tears and it's easy. And that's why challenging and captivating are really important as well. So I actually love that. So if you are languishing, it's trying to think about, let's go back to my calling. Is that exciting for me enough? Have I achieved that already? What else can I do to make it more challenging, compelling for me? There was a conversation around success and what is enough success? Like, when do we stop chasing things? What he said was that it's never enough. You can never have enough learning. You can never have enough travel, friends, or new experiences. And I agree with that. And I think you can never have enough new exciting podcasts to listen to as well. A really nice analogy he spoke about were chocks. So, and this is, he was talking about how he creates IP. And one thing he said, he was at the airport and he was looking at these big planes and they had these chocks under the wheels. So what a chock is, it's a wedge-shaped, I think it's made of rubber or wooden blocks. And these are used to prevent this, stop or prevent the motion of an airplane on the ground. So, like, you know, those little wedges they put in behind the wheels so the plane doesn't actually roll around. And he brought this metaphor into us as consultants, even as humans, right? A lot of us have chocks that are preventing us from moving. So what we need to do is we need to identify our own chocks, that the things that are stopping us from proceeding. A good question to ask is, what do I need to do that I'm not currently doing? The follow-up question then is, why is that? So first of all, build an awareness of what the chalk is and then figure out how to remove it. He also said a problem that comes that it can occur is that sometimes we use other people's metrics to guide what matters to us. So we really actually need to figure out what is important to us and choose our own metrics. So back on this IP generation, we did an exercise where we basically just looked out the window. We had 2 minutes, look out the window and to find something, observe something out there that we could relate to our own expertise and our own businesses. And so when we're sitting in this beautiful space, it's day two, I look out the window and there's these waves just crashing on the shore. So something that I said was, you can anticipate the wave, but you can't anticipate its intensity, much like the external forces that affect your organization. You know it's coming, but to what degree? And again, like, and I said this in the Vegas episode as well, there's actually like, there's ideas and opportunities and ways to connect thoughts like all around us. We just need to be more present and to observe. And I love that. But also I think it's also deciding on, you're not going to do it if you don't have a platform to share it on. And so like I LinkedIn is great for that. Like I'll see something and put it on LinkedIn just as an idea. I've got to actually use it. This experience in Kauai, I've got this platform of the podcast so I'm able to channel it to somewhere, to some platform. So I think for you, just if you're listening and you want to create more ideas, but you're not too sure where to put them, just find a platform for you where it is easy. Twitter can be good for it. Of course, you can write it down and store it on your own Google Sheet, like whatever format works for you. Just try if you can to get it out of your head, because when you need a story or you need an idea and you're trying to reflect on it, you can't find it. That's frustrating. But it's all about taking it a step further, that follow through. I've had this idea of observe this. I'm going to put it out there. That helps you reinforce it. It also helps your recall of it as well. There's so much more I could go into, but I'll just leave it there for now. Just this, some of the key highlights of this amazing trip. One thing that Alan spoke about was a poem called The Calf Path, and I put it down in my notes to read following the session. I thought I'd actually read out the poem to you. There's like five different stanzas. It is a little bit long, but this poem really reflects one of the key insights I had when I read my Clifton Strengths Tool result back in 2017. My number one strength is ideation, and it actually said in the report, you shudder when someone says we've always done it this way. I really do. I really love challenging why things are done in certain ways. And this poem is actually a really, really lovely articulation of that. So to end this podcast episode, I'll read you The Calf Path by Sam Foss. One day through the primeval wood, a calf walked home as good calf should. but made a trail all bent askew, a crooked trail as all calves do. Since then, 300 years have fled, and I infer the calf is dead. But still he left behind his trail, and thereby hangs my moral tale. The trail was taken up next day by a lone dog that passed that way. And then a wise bellwether sheep pursued the trail over vale and steep, and drew the flock behind him too, as good bellwethers always do. And from that day, over hill and glade, through those old woods, a path was made. And many men wound in and out, and dodged and turned and bent about, and uttered words of righteous wrath, because 'twas such a crooked path. But still they followed, do not laugh, the first migrations of that calf, and through this winding woodway stalked, because he wobbled when he walked. This forest path became a lane that bent and turned again. This crooked lane became a road, where many a poor horse with his load toiled on beneath the burning sun and travelled some 3 miles in one, and thus a century and a half they trod the footsteps of that calf. The years passed on in swiftness fleet, the road became a village street, and this before men were aware, a city's crowded thoroughfare, and soon the central street was this of a renowned metropolis, and men 2 centuries and a half trod in the footsteps of that calf. Each day 100,000 rout followed the zigzag calf about, and over his crooked journey went the traffic of a continent. 100,000 men were led by one calf, near 3 centuries dead. They followed still his crooked way and lost 100 years a day, for thus such reverence is lent to well-established precedent. A moral lesson this might teach, were I ordained and called to preach, for men are prone to go it blind along the calf paths of the mind, and work away from sun to sun to do what other men have done. They follow in the beaten track, and out and in and forth and back, and still their devious course pursue to keep the path that others do. They keep the path a sacred groove along which all their lives they move. But how the wise old wood gods laugh who saw the first primeval calf. Ah, many things this tale might preach, but I am not ordained to preach. That was The Calf Path by Sam Foss. I don't think I need to interpret it for you. I think we all know what is going on. And I guess a question to end this episode is, are you following in the calf path? Is there a more direct way for you? How can you make your path simpler and easier? Talk to you next week. You're the best. Thank you so much for tuning in to Work and Live Large. I really appreciate you. If you know someone in your network and you think, oh my gosh, they've got so much potential, like I want them to live and work larger, send them this episode. I think they might appreciate it. I also appreciate hearing from you, your feedback, your thoughts, your questions, anything. You can shoot me an email, hello@leannehughes.com, or find me on LinkedIn, just search for Leanne Hughes. Stay up to date with all the episodes by heading on over to leannehughes.com/subscribe, and all the best with your week as you go around living it up.